I don't know, Rebecca, you tell me. Rebecca Poole there, who hopefully will join us before Christmas again. I know she was a bit poorly when we last tried to connect. Poorly. No, never mind. She will be there and sort of through. A reminder, of course, today it is the 30th anniversary of the Lincoln Christmas Market, and to celebrate that and bring you extremely wonderful coverage, we've got Siren FM linking up with Lincoln City Radio. That's Lincoln's first community radio station, linking up with Lincoln's other community radio station to cover the event itself from 6 o'clock this evening. That's just after the first hour of Drive Time, which of course is brought to you by Ross Carrigan on Thursdays. So that's going to be Andrew David and Ed Wellman, and Jonathan is doing wonderful things with respect to magical stuff. And I think from the other station we've got Graham King and Malcolm and a range of other things. Katie, you weren't invited.
No, I wasn't.
Neither was I. It's all right.
It's a bit cold.
Yeah, exactly. That's my feeling. I think I'd just listen to it on air.
And blustery.
Don't, get blustery. Bitter on air. First rule of broadcasting.
Listen, you know, bitter, weird art, we're just a little bit twisted, a hint of lemon.
It is a bit cold out there.
Well, exactly, exactly. So life continues. From John Wenham's diary, a little heads up for what's taking place as far as the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is actually concerned. This weekend, on Saturday the 7th of December at 7:30 p.m, Julius Caesar, abridged version of this, performed by the faculty at the Lincoln School of Performing Arts, second year undergraduate students. Tyranny or Democracy? Republic or dictatorship? It's almost binary oppositions here, almost logic. Inspired by the events of the Russian Revolution, this production of Julius Caesar asks you to consider which side you will stand with when the status quo disintegrates and a social cataclysm unfurls. Tickets are mere £7, with concessions for students and under 26s for £5. Inquiries to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre box office, that's of course 01522 837600. That's 01522 837600 if you are interested in going along to see Julius Caesar performing, being performed by some of our fine second year undergraduate students at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre this Saturday, 7 p.m, 7th of December. I should have done it in the Ides of March, although I suppose if they're doing it from the Russian Revolution thing, who knows. Coming up next, hopefully, back from Ethiopia, William Sitwell.
This is Professor Richard Hand from the University of South Wales congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Excellent. When we talk about excellent taste, of course, there's only one excellent food critic and gastronomic expert that we can actually call upon. The man who, as we rightly said, Katie, can use the term, but it looks like an accident in Toy Town waiting to happen in terms of MasterChef. Back from Ethiopia where he's been doing wonderful things, etc. It is, of course, William Sitwell. How are you, William?
Yeah, morning. I love that song, 68 Guns. We used to play that at had a band at school. We used to try and do unsuccessful cover versions of it.
Well, you see, that's why it's all about. Now, we're going to ask you to do a little mystery voice thing before we get into Ethiopia. I wonder if you can identify this little soul.
Fulfilling and filling that doesn't have a bit of cow in it.
James, it's been fantastic just sharing some. There we are. We might have given you a slightly way, but fulfilling without a big car in it. Do you know whose voice that might have been?
Was it you?
No, well, the little part was, but no, the next time, because this voice actually puts a challenge for 40 seconds. Are you ready for the challenge that this gentleman is actually going to come up with for you?
Yeah, go on then.
Here comes the challenge. It's a fascinating survey, Food Trends for 2014, as you mentioned, in collaboration with War Buttons. I won't mention anything about nothing taken out, because I have to phrase it grammatically correct, you know, because I don't think, you know, nothing is supposed to nout. Oh, what the hey, we start off with Yorkshire, we'll work through that.
Indeed.
Two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the Midweek Drive?
It's been an absolute pleasure.
So the next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again, not just when William's actually in Ethiopia, and maybe getting the two of you together on the show? I mean, that could be a meeting of giants in every sense of the word.
I would love nothing more than to lock horns with Mr. Sitwell.
Oh, there we are. James Ramsden, Guardian food writer extraordinaire and supper club proprietor. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
So that sounded like a challenge to me, William. When, you know, we needed to bring in some sort of substitute for you when obviously you're out of commission with respect to Ethiopia. And, of course, James Ramsden popped up there. What say you? Are you ready to write that challenge, locking horns with James Ramsden?
you want me to lock horns with that slippery blogger?
Oh, my words. I think there's fighting talk here which could sort of open up to a whole new experience of 2014. But, well, life continues. Moving on. Let's move on to Ethiopia. And how did it go? And what was the... generally, just share with us. What were your adventures like?
Well, Ethiopia is the most extraordinary country. I mean, it's incredibly beautiful. It's a very lush, verdant country. Much against what one's expectations are, given, you know, Live Aid from 30 years ago. We all thought that it was a barren land of starvation and famine, which, by the way, because of political reasons, the Maoists in the north being denied food by the government, who then actually subsequently took over the regime. But anyway, that's another story. It's a beautiful country, subsistence farming based, very, very poor people, very beautiful people. We flew into Addis Ababa, which is a sort of classic, slightly scruffy African city, full of smiling people. And then we went off to Gondar, which is the sort of gateway to the Simien Mountains, where we were trekking. We were trekking for a charity called Kamara. Kamara is an amazing organization that puts used computers into schools across Africa, places like Haiti. So we visited a few schools as well to see how the computers were doing. Because if you think about the lack of resource that people have in schools in Africa, you give them computers, A, which gives them digital skills, which they need in later life, of course, to exist in the real world. But also it gives them offline Wikipedia, which is an incredible resource, given the fact that what they're very short of is not just pens and not just paper, but textbooks as well. So Kamara, which, by the way, you know that today is the Big Give, which is this amazing online thing. And if you give money to a charity, they double the amount you give. You can do that from 10 o'clock today. But anyway, so I was discovering about the work of Kamara, and I was trekking to raise money for Kamara, and also eating quite a lot of omelettes. Because let's face it, with great respect to the Ethiopians, their food is not great. They have a kind of bread which you eat with, it's called Endura, which looks and tastes a little bit like underlay, rolled up, rubbery, grey stuff that you want to put before you lay your carpet. But the beer's good. There's a very good beer called St. George. So we glugged a lot of that. That was nice. And actually, you can get some quite nice curries. But they don't hang their meat very long. They tend to cook it while it's still warm, warm from the slaughtered beast. But it's an amazing place, very generous people. And it's sort of a life-changing thing, really, to do, to go out there. And you fly, you know, flew back into Heathrow, and suddenly they're confronted by, you know, retail messages and Christmas lights. And you sort of think, God, you know, let's not give each other Christmas. Let's give to Kamara.
Sitting in the studio and nodding whilst you were sharing the thoughts with us there, not only Katie Grimason, who's very excited, as she said today, William's back, there's a better world out there. I know, it's true. You know, the excitement you generate, William, is just phenomenal. It's like Beatlemania, but, you know, 21st century version of it. But we also have Dave Kenyon, who is, we say, our resident founder of the Bull Foundation. But Dave, you're thinking of going off to Ethiopia, is that not the case?
Yes, our old colleague Baskran Naya used to teach in Ethiopia, and we've been talking for a few years now about going back and visiting his old haunts. Yep. And in fact, I have had some of that underlay. Weirdly, I had it in America, and I thought it was excellent. Where the restaurant that we ate an underlay in managed to produce a very nice, slightly piquant underlay. But it's absolutely right, William. It does look the dead spit. It's even grey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not great. And you come back here and you kind of, the idea of a sort of freshly baked French croissant is another world. But then, you know, you have to kind of reprioritize when you're out in the country like that, and put aside all your haunty foodie credentials and ambitions and exist. And, you know, it's actually quite good for one, I think, to go to a place like that and realize how lucky you are. You know, I mean, what was the big story when I came back? The fact for 2 hours, a few people couldn't get their money out of a cash machine. You know, and this was the big scandal. I mean, if only the problems were like that in Ethiopia, they'd be singing. for their singing anyway.
Interesting and very pertinent points, and particularly appropriate given the time of the year as well. I'd have to ask the question, though, William. The MasterChef scenario, I mean, once again, I got a text from Katie saying, William's on TV, she's on TV.
I wasn't expecting it. I was washing up in the kitchen, and then I looked at the telly, and I was like, oh, my God, William Sitwell's on the telly.
Exactly. Excitement's there. And I did like the line, William, it looks like a car crash in Toy Town. I thought it was, you know, very effectively delivered, and as ever. And Tracy tried to sort of match, you know, witticism for witticism. The other chap, bless him, righted his own way. But you wiped the floor with the rest of your fellow judges, I think it's fair to say.
You know, just well, you tell that to Jay Rayner, because he thinks he's the man with the biggest and cleverest witty put downs, but yeah, I'm glad you're on my side.
Oh, absolutely.
That dish did look like a car crash in Toy Town.
Yeah.
And there were some pretty foul things. I think there was a rhubarb dish last week that wasn't very good. But actually, the standard in MasterChef Professionals this year, I think, is pretty good. I think it's quite an exciting competition. But I'm glad you're watching.
Yep, absolutely. Well, we also have a little warning from one of our other contributors, Gemma Joy, who says up in Gisborough, it's very blustery out there, so be careful, my lovelies. I didn't think she was West Country, but there we are. That's Gemma. Katie, last two questions for William, then.
William, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Oh, Katie, just to come back from Africa and hear your voice, it's all worthwhile.
And can we look forward to connecting with you again?
Yeah, why not? You know, I'm off to Florence tomorrow. Get that, eh? I'll come back next week and tell you about some pasta I've eaten.
This is why you talk about international. This is why, William, of course, Siren FM is officially the Radio Academy's Station of the Year for the East Midlands. Yeah, we have that award.
Wow.
Yeah, we are the Station of the Year.
The way you put it, the way you glamorise it, it's just fantastic.
Exactly.
You guys are living the dream, hey?
Well, in so many ways, this is just so true. And just in case you thought we'd forgotten the original idea.
The finest in gourmet criticism and foodie delights. And the author of A History of Food in 100 Recipes. Quite clearly a question of quality personified. It's William Sitwell on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Happy trails, William. Enjoy Florence, and we'll speak next week.
Yeah, can't wait.
So much to fit in, even World War III. No, don't worry, it's not going to be happening. At least, we hope not. Tom Hark, The Piranhas there on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station, and indeed award-winning community radio station. Radio Station of the Year for the East Midlands. Yes, we do like that. I'm going to say it again, because that's what we are. Moving on to a young gentleman who kind of makes the 9:40 slot his own. And it's slightly shorter than normal because we've got to sort of move up to test transmissions. Well, testing things, not transmissions. We'll just get wonderful music, which Jonathan will be testing out with respect to Lincoln City Radio and a whole range of other factors as well. But it is Alan Stevens online. How are you, Alan?
Okay, I'm fine. How are you?
We're good. We've fought it out, etc. And official on-air scenario. Actually, we're fought it out. I don't know why I said fought it out. That sounds like something. But anyway, we're okay. Robert Barringer-Locke, one of your co-writers on some of the fabulous material that you've actually put together, will be featured. I guarantee this. It's just we haven't managed to speak to Robert as yet. So I just want to put that on air that we are on the case. Katie, any questions for Alan Stevens?
What have you been up to lately?
Nice, very good. Yeah. What have you been up to lately, Alan?
What have I been up to lately?
Yeah.
Well, we've got a party on the 15th of the...
A party?
Yeah, 15th of December.
Good
Christmas
heavens.
Party.
My word.
Alex, if you can make it, you are welcome to come along as well.
That's very kind of you. An invitation to a party. Good heavens.
And so I've had to do some things. I've had some problems with the bathroom door recently, and I've had to shave, because what happens is sometimes it gets very damp. Yeah. Wood can expand. We've had it sticking, so I had to shave some wood off it, and then I had to repaint that, so I've done that. What else have I done?
This is the kind of glamour that they miss on other radio stations,
yeah.
You see. They think,
we put up episode episode 12 of Radio Bastard yesterday.
We can only say that once, but we refer to it as Radio B. But yes, it is a classic, and once again, I shall be obvious. I mean, I think not only do I actually promote the thing, I actually sort of buy the things online as well. Admittedly,
yes,
only 79.
You like them, Alex?
They are very good, actually. And
good, thank you.
I think Tracy Russell was a cracker in terms of when she joined us. Did you manage to catch that little piece?
Yes, I did hear that. Yes.
Are you giving her a raise? Just a thought.
I think that's a very personal question.
It is, exactly. Yes, we'll sort of work there. Also in the studio, we have Dave Kenyon, whom you've spoken to before, and in many ways, Dave Kenyon is to George Boole what you are to Doctor Who. I think so. Yeah, i.e. an expert, a scholar, and a general sort of key proponent of the man from Lincoln who is celebrating his bicentenary in 2015, but also commemorating his 150th demise and departure next year, 2014.
That's right. So this year on the 8th, it's his 149th death day.
It's worth considering in every sense of the word from that point of view. So any sort of questions you might have, Alan, for Dave? You could even throw him those last two questions. You know, has he had a reasonably interesting sort of show? Is he coming back again? You know, it's up to you.
You're in the
driving
seat.
Have you had a really interesting telephonic chat?
Well, I'm not on telephone, but yes, I've been here twiddling my thumbs, interjecting,
coughing every so often on microphone.
Yes,
changing his chair regularly, going up and down. It's unbelievable. Still,
I've been burying out unsuccessfully.
Is there any chance of Alex ever inviting you back again?
Never. I don't think that's on the cards at all. I'm afraid,
you never know. You never know. It's all wondrous stuff from that perspective. From your own line, Alan, is it a case of you've got other projects that have been developed? Has Radio B come to an end now? I mean, it's obviously you got the series in the can based on your experiences as a work placement at a radio station in the commercial radio world somewhere in the West Country of England. But in terms of that, are you looking for a sequel? Are you looking to develop various other things? Or are you a case of, no, I've still got to actually get my Battlestar Galactica Ultimate Guide sorted out?
Well, we're always doing things. I mean, this week, for example, if you and I, we do this thing for the Doctor Who Appreciation Society. It's got various articles we do for them, and we did one this week. We did this thing called 50 Things, and sometimes it's, you know, it's like 47 good things about a particular story, and three cool things, or sometimes it's 58. Well, 50. Cool. Well, have you ever had
a
that?
Random
I think the highest you've ever had is Genesis of Daleks. Genesis of Daleks at a 50. It had 47 really nice things about it. Anyway, we did it on the Doctor Who TV movie. And I think there were 17 nice things you said about that one.
17 nice things about
it. Yeah, so it didn't do so well, really. Yeah. so we do these articles and stuff like that. We've also got, I was in communication with David Hay this week. And
okay.
It's a Battlestar Galactica book we've got to, basically. I mean, we've written it, but I know what will happen is in January, David will read through it, and he'll come back and they'll say, you know, can I have some more expansion on this, or, you know...
It's the anticipation. Katie, you had a quick interjection there.
I think Alan would have iced the Doctor Who round at the quiz
yesterday. I think he would have got 10 out of 10, actually. Yes, I mean, we could. I think I might have the questions, actually, if you chat to him. Well, I'll have to sort of close. So, chat to him, Katie, and then I'll sort of try and get the questions. You can say anything.
I don't know what to say.
Well, I don't know. Between yourself and Dave, I'm sure you can actually keep him occupied for a few moments.
Yeah, go on, occupy me.
Who's your favourite Doctor?
Do you know what? That's a very interesting question. My favourite Doctor. People often say your favourite Doctor is a Doctor you were, you grew up with.
Mean GP. Sorry.
No. I mean.
Oh, yes. Cross purposes.
They do. They say, you know. Well, I was born. You know, whatever I was. I basically grew up with Tom Baker, but my favourite Doctor is William Hartnell.
Ah, right. Yes. That was my first. My first Doctor was William.
Yeah, I think William Hartnell was brilliant. My second favourite Doctor is Tom Baker.
Uh-huh.
My third favourite Doctor is Christopher Eccleston. Uh-huh. And guess who my fourth favourite Doctor is? You'll never
guess. David Tennant.
No, he's not John David Tennant.
What was wrong with David Tennant?
Oh, I mean, to be honest, when the special they did, the Day of the Doctor 50th anniversary special, he was in that, and he was very good in that, I must say. But probably because he was toned down by the fact that Matt Smith was also there and John Hurt was also there. But David Tennant used to make my teeth itch, I'm afraid. No, David
Paul McCann.
Not my favourite. No, well, Paul McCann used to be my least favourite, but he recently did a 6-minute short story, you know, on the Red Button channel, as sort of his Doctor Who regeneration story, and he was excellent in it. You know,
he seems to have warmed to it now he's not doing it.
Well, I think the thing is that if you do something like that and it does a pilot and it doesn't go anywhere, you know, it can haunt you a bit, can't it?
I'm going to say Matt Smith.
Well, I do like Matt Smith, but I'd probably put him in about 6th, 7th place, really. So you've still got, Patrick Troughton, I would say, was my 5th favourite, yeah. So we're looking for my 4th favourite, aren't we, here? Yeah.
Sylvester.
No.
No?
No, not Sylvester. I quite like Sylvester, but no, he's not there.
Ah.
I'm losing...
I
give you a clue, but it's not much of a clue. He was on TV very, very recently.
John Hurt?
Yes. I thought John Hurt was absolutely brilliant. I loved him.
Ah.
Yeah. He had a kind of... I just thought he was fantastic. You know, he had a kind of sadness about him, and he just was the Doctor for me. And he articulated several lines that, you know, or several views that I felt about the new Doctor. You know, like, why, you know, what's wrong with being adult? You know, why do you speak like children and all this stuff? You know, why, you know, why do you keep having to wave your arms about when talking? There was some great stuff there, and. I
like Patrick Troughton as well, as you say, it's for me, it's sort of much more to do with when I was a youth, and less to do with. But I thought he brought a lot of stuff that the later ones have developed, you know. But so much of all the subsequent ones, actually, seeds were sown with the first two.
We're going to have to wait until next week to actually give you these questions, because I'm afraid it's not in the little magic bag that I thought I had it in. So,
Can you remember any of them?
Yeah, you've answered two of them, actually.
What was K-9?
What was K-9 is one of the questions. What was K-9?
K-9? Mechanical
who photographed him for Spotlight?
That was Dave Kenyon, of course. I know, exactly. That's a little bit of Doctor Who history with there. Who was the War Doctor, as opposed to War Doctor?
John Hurt,
exactly.
Yeah.
And who's the Second Doctor? Those are three of the sort of things. We'll get the other seven
to
you.
They're very simple, aren't they?
Well, those seven were, you know, who played Romana Dvoratra-Lunda, who was the first actress who portrayed her.
Very calm.
Exactly. Simple, and yet how difficult did the team find them?
Very.
There you are. So, moving on. Alan, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
Good God, I've been kicked off already.
Mm.
Yeah,
don't blame us. Blame Neustadt and Divine Star and the Lincoln Christmas Market and the associated sort of connections that we need to sort of go through. So
I would blame them, but I can't pronounce it.
Okay. Has it been okay for you?
Yeah.
Are you coming back again next week?
Sorry?
Are you coming back again next week?
If you invite me.
Splendid. Katie, have you enjoyed the show?
Yeah, it's been good.
Back again next week?
Yes.
Back from Birmingham? Good. Special thing happening next week, so just bear that in mind. Katie, Dave, have you enjoyed... Dave, have you enjoyed the programme?
I'm still suffering from my sex change.
Please. Yeah. Dave or Davetta will be Jack before too long in all sorts of ways. Thanks to Dave Kenyon and Katie Grimerson in the studio. Thanks to you, dear listener, for being with us. Thanks to Mindy Steed, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Arthur McKenzie, Gareth Owen from, of course, Pinewood Studios, and William Sidwell and Alan Stevens. That's pretty much it for the moment. Time for Mike Dooley. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The secret behind miracles is that the one performing them begins without any knowledge whatsoever of exactly how they will succeed. Yet still, they begin. When you move, I move the universe. Once again, taking action saves the day. Well, somebody